Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text today is the Gospel of Matthew, the 11th chapter. Gas prices have really caused us to consider changing our way of life. Instead of, at our house, saying, I'm going to the store, I'm just taking off, now we plan our visits to the store for 2 or 3 days. Sometimes we think, oh, I can wait, you know, a week or so to go up there and get that one thing. Vacations have changed. People necessarily aren't driving all over the country the way they used to. Even air travel, you know, charging extra for bags and people talking about, well, if you weigh over a certain weight, you might have to pay a little more. Thoughts about that. And the cars we drive are changing too, aren't they? The muscle cars today are not so much the big behemoths of the past, but the small, finely tuned imported cars. Mighty Detroit stands humbled. And that reminds me of Jesus preaching in our text today, that things appeared to change in his preaching. Humility now was in, and selfish pride was out. As Jesus preached, our text reveals that many people didn't get it. They didn't understand what he was saying because he taught in parables. And so Jesus' prayer given here, we learn from. He says, I thank you, Father, that you've hidden these things from the wise and learned and have revealed them to the children. It seems that for our God, what is important in us is not how much you understand, how great your brain capacity is, how much information you know, but do you believe the simple truth that God has taken great pains to show you? Now, I have a great respect for higher education, but I am glad that God's will was to make it so that everyone could have saving faith, not only the high and educated, but the simplest of us can have saving faith in Jesus as our Savior. But don't misunderstand me. I am not saying that Christianity is not full of wisdom and learning. Christianity is a thinking person's religion. There is great learning in the Scriptures, great insights in the wisdom literature of the Old Testament, the geography of the biblical world. Many of these places, most of them, are still there. You can go and visit them. Or the intricacies of the language that the Bible was written into, Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic. Or, for that matter, the writings of the early church fathers, the early pastors of the church who committed their thoughts and their learnings to the pen. Or the late church fathers, or the medieval writings, or the more modern commentaries. Why, the four Gospels alone fascinate us. They're written by four different people, and yet they tell the same story from four different ways. All the nuances and the emphasis that each writer, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, give in telling that same story. And you can spend a lifetime looking at the comparisons, the similarities, and the differences, and yet not find disharmony among them. But one does not need a PhD to know that God created the world, to know what sin is and how it affects us, to know that God sent Jesus into the world and how he took our place on the cross, and how he saved the world and brings to us the kingdom of heaven. These are simple truths that the youngest child can understand. In fact, the wise people have to learn humility in order to be truly wise to God. We have to be careful that we don't try to explain everything away in Scriptures as if there's a natural understanding of everything, a natural explanation, and that it fits in a logical box that we construct. Because so much of what God reveals in the Scriptures defies our attempts to reason it out. There are mysteries in the Scriptures. The simplest and foremost being that doctrine of the Holy Trinity, the understanding of who God is, three persons yet one God, or the two natures of Jesus Christ, the divine and human, or how the Holy Spirit inspired the writers of the Old and New Testament and yet did not control their very actions in writing. It gave them the freedom of expression and yet through that was able to commit to writing what God wanted in every word. I do not pretend to understand such things, but we all accept them because we are Christians. This is the humility of true spiritual wisdom, and this is a gift that God has given to those who believe. Sometimes, though, we do struggle with this. We struggle, but most of the time, I think that we struggle more with the course that our life is taking. For instance, when a child is taken by death, as we experienced in our congregation this week, we wonder why. And our feelings leave us with 100 reasons why that child, especially if it's our child, should continue to live and it should be someone else, someone older who dies. But God does not defend his actions. He merely says to us, trust me. And faith learns to trust God. Jesus in our reading today says, all things have been given to me. And he goes on to say that no one really knows me, who I am, except the Father, the Heavenly Father who sent me. And you can't really know your Heavenly Father unless you know me, the Son of God. Now we struggle with sayings like that. And we struggle with Jesus' will, God's will for us. Sometimes we find ourselves fighting God's will. What he's revealing is going to happen in our lives, we don't want to happen. We doubt it. We denounce it in public, perhaps. But after all, when it's all said and done, the will of God is always done, and we can't change God's will one degree. We can only accept it. We can pray to ask him to lead us to accept and trust in his will. And we know he wants us to pray, to express our will to him, but always with that understanding of thy will, O God, be done in my life. Thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Now, in the Gospel of Luke, this passage is put there that we've heard. And Luke tells us that before Jesus said this, he sent the 70 disciples out, 70 witnesses, and he gave them power to do miracles and preach in his name. And he said that, you have revealed these truths to little children, O Lord, but hid them from the wise and learned, and then sent these people out. Now that doesn't mean that you can't be highly educated and be a Christian and follow Jesus. But it does mean this. Don't let your earthly wisdom, your worldly learning, prevent you from believing every word of Holy Scripture that God has provided and revealed for us. Because there is more than meets the eye here in God's revelation in the Scriptures. My friends, is being a believer in Jesus, is that a struggle for you at times? Do we struggle with that? Do you feel the pressure of wanting to believe and yet doubting God sometimes? I think that's common to us all. Being unable to defend yourself, your faith against your critics. Jesus has a blessing for you today. He said, come to me. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. What this says to me today is that we do not need to prove God's existence or prove that his word is true. We can't do it anyway. It's been tried. You can't prove God and his word. But I find that you can't disprove it either by physical means. Along the way, it's a blessing that God gives you these little signs. You know, nothing quantifiable. But along the way, God is always reminding you in little ways, mysterious ways, that you're on the right path. And it is good to put your trust in the Lord and not to falter. It's a part of God's personality, it seems, a part of his humor, I think, when he does this in our lives. But this understanding, come to Jesus when you have a heavy load, it's not a call to laziness. God doesn't want you to throw up your hands and say, I don't have to work anymore. I don't have to learn to deal with the problems that are before me in life. We must continue to work hard, to strive in everything, to do our best in every area of our life. That is our calling, to offer our lives as a continual service to God. And for God, we never want to give the second or third best, but we give the best effort that we can as we serve God in everything that we do. But we are to take his yoke upon ourselves, his labor for our own. We live to serve God. He has served us by giving everything for us in order to procure our salvation. He lives and dies for us, and he gives us that eternal future in the kingdom of heaven. And now, in this life, forever, however long we have, we are to serve Jesus. We are to take his yoke upon us. Now, what is that yoke? What is that burden that he puts on us? He says it is light. He tells us what it is. It is the wisdom of humility. He says, take my yoke upon you, for I am gentle and humble in heart. That means that as we go about our lives, and as God gives us these tasks and reveals the things that he would have us do in this life, the people that we would serve, there is a certain way we should go about that. We should not push our way and be demanding in what we want. On the other hand, we win it with sacrificial service if it is God's way. That is how he served us. Not by forcing us to kneel to him in this world, but by showing us what a great king and lord he is by offering himself in our greatest need. So I hope you can see that the Christian life is hard, but the Christian life is easy. It is hard in that we work and we care for others. That's what our life is for, not for ourselves, but giving for others, serving them. That is true wisdom. But our Christian life is easy in that Jesus cares for us. He loves us, and he shows us what it is to follow. He shows us that our salvation is accomplished, and now we simply continue to be faithful to him in all things. He will be directing us. He will be guiding us as we look to the wisdom of his holy word, and we let it become a part of us and let it direct our course in living. This is the true wisdom of humility that Christ examples for us and gives to us in himself. May God's blessing be upon you as you bear the burdens of life. May you find rest in Jesus, and may you bear his yoke with confidence and grace. In the name of Jesus, amen. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ keep you to life everlasting.